While Michigan Republicans celebrated President Reagan's victory over Walter Mondale last night, a Flint auto worker was shot and killed in the parking lot of Buick City, the second homicide in Flint this week. Good evening, I'm Susan Parker. Thanks for tuning in. NBC's Dave Davis is live at Buick City with more information.
Thanks, Susan. I'm in the parking lot of Buick City, where police say 42-year-old Wayne Collins was shot last night at approximately 1 a.m., just after second shift had ended. Police are interviewing employees to try to find any witnesses to the shooting.
Childhood doesn't fade away as you grow. It ends abruptly. Mine ended November 6th, 1984, when my father Wayne was murdered. Nothing made sense after that. My brother Skip committed suicide. My mother became a drunk. Even my city died. And I always felt like this was somehow all my fault. But now I'm back in Flint to stop the murder. It's March 1984. I've just arrived. I don't know who the killer is. And stopping a murder is not easy, but then again, neither is time travel. This is my one chance. Save my father and return to 2018 and reclaim the life I was meant to have.
Mind if I turn the radio off?
I'm listening to you.
But you can't focus on the beauty of my voice with the radio on. Give me a chance.
I know, but the timing ain't right.
Why not? I ain't working. I'm about as busy as a eunuch in a whorehouse. Hell, I'm even visiting you on your lunch break.
Maybe you should just focus on your recovery right now.
That's all I did in the hospital. You know how humiliating it is to be in a fucking mental institution? To be living in my parents' basement? I got to make up for all the shit I've done. I've got to be productive. I even missed the assembly line.
Want to finish my shift for me?
You want Bo Derek's phone number?
Don't you think this idea is a little crazy?
Crazy like cold beer in a hot day.
Bud, I'm serious. A shop that sells books, records, and guns? I love the idea, but...
Come on, we've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, but I thought we was just talking.
Shit, man. I can literally hear your heart ticking. You know what she's saying? Wayne Collins, you ain't getting no younger. It's time to do something with your life. Open a shop with your handsome friend Bud. Don't wait till it's too late. Each tick is one tick closer to death.
That's a nice metaphor, but my aortic valve replacement's what's keeping me alive. It's actually making me live longer.
I know. You got an assembly line in your chest. The question is, who's in charge? You want to be your own boss or what?
Look, I know what you mean. I'm just worried.
Well, I'm clean, man. I ain't touched no cocaine since I left the hospital. I ain't even drinking.
Okay, Nancy Reagan. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about losing my life savings.
You know there's going to be more layoffs. Our business will be like a safety net.
Like a safety net or like betting on horses?
Look, everybody wants books, records, and guns. Every shop rat from Schwartz Creek to Lapeer will stop by for ammo. Merle Haggard, Motown, Hardball Paperbacks, and Das Kapital.
I'll think about it.
Don't think too hard. I don't want you getting constipated.
Keep bringing me these hamburgers and that just might be a problem.
Come on, Wayne. A hot meal from QP's and a pop in this parking lot is as good as any quickie on Saginaw Street.
I gotta get back to work. Walk me to the gate.
I ain't getting no closer to that factory than you are to Bo Derek. Say hi to the guys for me. Tell the foreman to get fucked. And think some more about our business. Think about it for your family, yourself, and most important, think about me.
When you were hungry, I didn't feed you.
No, 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 you didn't feed me.
When you were dirty, I didn't clean you.
I can't believe I get to see Skip again. I loved him so much. I never thought he'd kill himself.
Here, let's go under here. Come on, Skip.
Hey, man.
I feel kind of funny about smoking a joint with my 16-year-old brother.
Don't you get high with your friends under this weeping willow tree?
But I know that it's the easiest way to approach him.
How'd you know my name?
Do you want to smoke with me or not?
Plus, it might help him digest the whole time travel thing.
Have I met you before or something?
Nope. I'm new here.
He's the only one I feel safe confiding in right now.
What's your name?
Elena.
That's my sister's name.
Oh, yeah? She's probably really cool. You should probably be nice to her.
I am nice to her.
Do you let her hang out with you and your friends?
Yeah. No. I mean, she's too young.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But, don't tease her about her stuffed animals, okay?
You're freaking me out. Who are you?
Well, you know, I had a big brother, and I kind of idolized him, and he didn't want his little sister tagging along, so I know what it's like.
I swear to God I'm nice to her.
Here, do you want the rest? I've had enough.
Sure, yeah. What do you think happens when you die?
I don't know. What do you think?
You know how people say they see a light at the end of the tunnel? I think it's really just like when you're falling asleep, sometimes you have really weird thoughts or visions. I mean, not full-on dreams, but...
Hypnagogic states?
That's what they're called?
Yeah. What made you think about this?
I don't know. One time my Aunt Joy told me that when people commit suicide, their soul gets stuck in, like, an empty void until the time they were meant to die.
And then what?
Well, I guess they go to heaven or hell or they reincarnate or something.
There's a lot to unpack there. But first of all, her idea implies predestination. That the date and the time of our death is already set in stone, which would mean that there is no free will. If we don't have free will, then suicide wouldn't be a choice. It would just be another predetermined event, so it's bullshit.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought of that.
You should ask her why it matters if we're spiritual or not, since God has seemingly already predetermined our fate.
Well, I don't see my Aunt Joy anymore. She and my mom got in a fight, and they don't talk no more.
So, how's your mom doing?
Do you know her or something?
No, but I need to talk to her. Do you know where I can find her?
Well, we live over on Corona.
No, I mean like a public place where I can run into her.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Skip. Think.
Well, she has a book club meeting at the health co-op. I think it's on Monday. Or Tuesday. Or Wednesday. Or Thursday.
I'll figure it out. Thanks.
Yeah, no prob.
Now, there's one more thing I gotta tell you. It's a little weird, and it's just between you and me, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Tomorrow, Marvin Gaye will be murdered by his own father.
Wait a sec. Isn't tomorrow April 1st?
Yes.
Is this some kind of joke? April Fool's joke?
Just watch the news tomorrow or, check out a newspaper.
Are you psychic?
I know that this sounds crazy, okay? But after tomorrow, I'll explain it to you.
Why don't you call the cops or something?
Look, it's pretty complicated. Well, I came here to stop a murder from happening, but it's a different one. I'm gonna need your help.
Unknown smokes his pipe and feels serene. He lays down and begins to dream.
On the wake of a bug
mother, on the other hand, I'm not looking forward to seeing again. But maybe she'll be different. Yeah, as a younger woman.
Wait, did you not like The Awakening?
No, I did. But Tammy, it's a little bit like the sprout salad. See, I know it's good for me, but I'd rather eat a donut.
I know what you mean.
Oh, it's crazy. We're just about the same age now. I just can't imagine her being younger. It's like she was always old.
But don't worry, we have got these honey carob clusters for dessert.
So, what did you think of the book?
Well, I just loved it. I mean, I related so much with Edna.
Do you feel like you're going through an awakening?
I don't know if I'd put it that way.
Well, you're not going to start painting and abandon your family and drown yourself like Edna in the book?
No, but I feel like I need to be more my own person. I underline this one sentence. Okay, here it is. I would give up the unessential. I would give up my money. I would give my life for my children, but I wouldn't give myself.
That's a great passage.
Do you have kids?
No. What about you?
I've got a 16-year-old named Skip and a 10-year-old girl. She's named Elena, just like you.
Oh, yeah?
And I love them, but I feel like I gave myself up. I gave myself to them and my husband. And I want to be a good mother, but what kind of mother am I if I'm not also my own person?
Well,
I mean, what kind of message does it send to my daughter if I'm just the person who cooks and cleans? And what about my son? If that's all he sees, he'll grow up to be just another male chauvinist pig.
But, Tammy, you're saying that you want to be yourself for the sake of others. Lots of contradiction.
Yeah, I suppose. Let me ask you, are you a woman's libber?
Yes, of course. Aren't you?
Oh, I am now.
You weren't before?
Well, actually, didn't you say you're from New York City?
Yes.
And you went to college?
Yes.
Well, you know, I started working at Buick right after high school, and I worked there up until I had Skip. And after that, I was just a housewife. But being a housewife was so much better than working at that factory. I heard about Gloria Steinem and all that stuff, but it just didn't seem to apply to me. And now I feel like I was asleep all that time.
So what are you going to do now that you're waking up?
Kill my husband and hit the road.
Are you serious?
No, just kidding. I don't know, really. Just joining that book club and meeting some new friends like you was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, the meeting was fun.
Well, you know, one thing. Last week I made a vegetarian dinner, and I was so excited about it. And my husband, Wayne, was such a jerk. He kept saying, "Where's the beef?" You know, that stupid commercial?
Yeah.
So then my daughter refused to eat. I completely lost it and screamed at her. And Wayne and I got in a big fight.
So, is your husband a misogynist?
A what?
Is he sexist?
Well, Wayne likes to think of himself as some kind of big radical, but
his idea of revolution doesn't include women.
Yeah, but I guess he's not that bad. Oh, we have our problems, but, you know, that's what marriage is.
What, a big problem?
Well, I mean, it's not perfect, but he's good to me. Wayne's a really good husband.
Wayne.
Yeah?
I think Gordon knows about us.
What? That I'm over here fixing stuff for you?
No, I told him I heard some guy from church. I meant I'm afraid he suspects us.
Come on, Joy, you always say that. Sometimes I think you like to worry.
You don't know Gordon's temper.
I ain't scared of him.
Well, I am.
I gotta get going soon. What did he say?
Well, it's not really something he said. It's that he hardly talks with me at all.
That don't mean nothing. You want him to be the poet laureate of the HR department or something? White-collar bastard.
Well, someone told me he knows.
Someone? Who, Joy? You're goddamn psychic?
I know you don't believe she knows things, though.
Can she tell me what the numbers are to the next lotto?
It doesn't work like that.
Hey, I'd be more than willing to split the money with her.
Just because she sees the future doesn't mean she sees everything. It's just like how you know what happened in the past, but you don't know everything that happened.
But I'm not calling myself a historian and taking money from people.
Wayne, you are such a Capricorn. Mm-mm.
Okay. Where's these holes you need me to spackle?
Oh, they're in Josh's room, just over here.
What the hell? I thought there was just a tiny hole in the wall. This will need more than just a little spackle. What's wrong with that kid?
I don't know. I am really worried about him.
Well, you know how teenagers are. Skip always smells like reefer now.
No. Josh is a nice boy. He hasn't been himself lately.
How so?
Well, it's hard to say exactly.
You mean like all these holes he kicked in the wall?
Well, yeah, but there's more. He attacked his cat. Threw her against the wall. It was awful.
Why'd he do that?
He said the cat tried to switch bodies with him.
Smoothly. See, but I've got to get in the habit of calling her Tammy, even when I'm just thinking. I'm still not sure who's going to murder Dad. I mean, Wayne. It was kind of weird when Tammy made that joke about killing him. I almost choked. But I don't think that she killed him. I mean, why would she? He was such a good man.
What do you mean?
You're late.
I worked some overtime and stopped to buy smokes. Remind me to get the car looked at. It's making funny noises.
Didn't you take it in last month?
Yeah, but it's making a funny noise.
Skip, could you bring those plates over to me and tell your sister dinner's ready?
singer Marvin Gaye, whose career spanned over 25 years, including the birth of the Motown sound to the 80s, was shot to death. Dick Shoemaker reports.
Skip, what happened?
Mom, be quiet.
What is it?
Marvin Gaye's dead.
What?
His father murdered him.
On suspicion of murder in the death of his son. Marvin Gaye was visiting his parents' home here in Los Angeles. There was a family argument. The singer was shot in the chest. A little while later, Marvin Gaye died.
Marvin Gaye Sr. armed himself with a handgun.
You've been listening to Buick City 1 AM, a podcast opera written, composed, and produced by me, Jason Cady. It featured Annie Sage Whitehurst as Elena, Joshua R. Pine as Wayne, Hallie DeVestern as Tammy, Nathaniel Kent as Skip, Anya Krawcheck as Joy, and Scott Watson as Bud. Anne Hepperman and Chris Berube were the newscasters. The singers were Katie Eastburn, Elise Kakasic, and Eric McKeever. The musicians were Emily Manzo, Sean Lovato, Aaron Siegel, and me. Anne Hepperman recorded and directed the actors, and Martin Johnson did the sound design. Jeff Cook recorded and mixed the music. Buick City 1 AM is a production of Experiments in Opera, an opera company in New York City that produces adventurous new opera. For more information, check out experimentsinopera.com.